In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us kneel and pray for the souls in purgatory. Jesus, King and our God, have mercy on them. Jesus, King of heaven and earth.
Have mercy on them.
Jesus, King and Judge of the living and of the dead.
Have mercy on them.
Jesus, King most merciful.
Have mercy on them.
Jesus, King, our life and resurrection.
Have mercy on them.
Jesus, King, hope of those who die in thee.
Have mercy on them.
Please respond. Deliver them, O Lord, from all evil, from all punishment, from the dreadful captivity, through the merits and intercession of thy most holy mother, through the merits and intercession of all thy saints. Please respond, intercede for them. Holy Mary, Holy Mother of God, Holy Virgin of Virgins, Our Lady, Help of Christians. Please respond, pray for them. Saint Michael, Saint Joseph, Saint Peter, Saint John the Baptist, Saint Stephen, Saint Catherine of Alexandria, Saint Philomena, Saint Louis the Ninth, Saint Catherine de Ricci, Saint Francis de Sales, Saint Aloysius Gonzaga, Saint John Marie Vianney, Saint Catherine Labouret, Saint Anthony Mary Claret, Saint Peter Julian Aymard, Saint Pius the Tenth, Saint Gemma Galgani, Saint Padre Pio. Eternal rest grant unto them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen. Today is the 26th Sunday after Pentecost, and at the beginning of today's epistle from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and also again towards the end, St. Paul specifically mentions faith, hope, and charity. We then go to the Gospel, where Jesus speaks about the kingdom of heaven. And one of the comparisons that he makes is he compares the kingdom of heaven to a mustard seed. Well, faith, hope, and charity are also very much like the mustard seed, because they are meant to grow and grow. From the very moment of our baptism, faith, hope, and charity are meant to grow so that they can become so great in our souls that they dominate the way we think, the way we speak, the way we live. That we live by faith, hope, and charity. Remember, as I told you a few weeks ago, Jesus' kingdom is a kingdom of holiness and grace. That is, it's a kingdom of faith, hope, and charity. This morning, I want to focus briefly on charity. We look to the saints. St. Francis de Sales says, faith points out the way to the land of promise as a pillar of fire. Hope feeds us with its manna of sweetness. But charity actually introduces us into the promised land. It is charity which will gain us entrance into heaven. St. Charles of Sese, he was an Italian Franciscan who lived in the 1600s, he says, God does not command us to live dressed in hair shirts and chains, or to chastise our flesh with scourges, but to love Him above all things and our neighbor as ourselves. Here, the saint is simply restating the two greatest commandments, what summarizes all the aspects of our holy religion, to love God and to love neighbor. St. John Vianney says, quote, "All our religion is but a false religion, and all our virtues are mere illusions if we have not that universal charity for everyone, for the good and for the bad, for the poor and for the rich, and for all those who do us harm as much as for those who do us good." Close quote. And then St. Alphonsus Liguori and St. Therese of Lisieux, they give us a very brief explanation of what true charity is. Sadly, we live in a world that's very confused about many, many things, and it's certainly confused about what charity and what love is. So St. Alphonsus Liguori says, quote, "True charity consists in doing good to those who do us evil," close quote. And St. Teresa of Lisieux says something very similar, quote, "True charity consists in putting up with all one's neighbor's faults," close quote. And here, especially the spouses that are here present, pay close attention, because charity begins at home. If we truly are living as faithful Catholics, where our practice of charity must be the greatest is husbands with wives, wives with husbands. Again, St. Teresa of Lisieux, "True charity consists in putting up with all one's neighbor's faults." So, how can we define the great virtue of charity? Charity is loving God above all things for His own sake. Not because we expect a reward, and not even because we expect an eternal reward, but loving God above all things for His own sake, because God is who God is, infinitely good, infinitely loving. It's loving God above all things for His own sake, and loving our neighbor for the sake of God. Pope Leo XIII, he's obviously not the only one, this is what the Church has always taught, but Pope Leo XIII teaches that sanctity, holiness, consists in the love of God, or charity. Another way of saying this is that Christian perfection, the way that we reach perfection, is by practicing charity. St. Thomas Aquinas teaches that the essence of Christian perfection consists primarily in the love of God, and secondarily in the love of neighbor for God's sake. That's charity. Supreme perfection consists in a continual act of homage to and love of God. This is also why the holy sacrifice of the Mass is so important, because it is the highest form of our love of God. And again, why it's so important that we do our very best to make sure that the worship that we're offering to God is the worship that the Holy Catholic Church has always offered, namely the traditional Latin Mass. And let us always keep very much in mind, again, this is a great exercise of our faith, that the reason why the holy sacrifice of the Mass is the greatest act of the love of God is because it is the love of our Savior Jesus Christ and His continual act of homage to the Blessed Trinity. We then unite our meager love, the small sacrifice of our life that we can make, we unite that to the sacrifice of Christ in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The masters of the spiritual life teach the following, quote, "Perfection is charity. A charity strong enough to produce a habitual renunciation of everything that prevents the soul belonging entirely to God." Remember this, because they're teaching us what charity truly means. And this is why we must practice penance and mortification, because we have to overcome all of those obstacles that prevent us from giving ourselves entirely to God. The first and foremost of that is selfishness. Again, they're telling us that charity has to be strong enough for it to be charity. Strong enough to produce in us a habitual, this means every day, a habitual renunciation of everything that prevents the soul belonging entirely to God. And true charity, it's also a charity which habitually wills only what God wills and consequently loves all things only in God and for God. This is another very important mark of true charity, where because one truly loves God, one wills only what God wills. Not my own will, but God's most holy will. Let us consider for a few moments the souls in purgatory and the saints. Remember the last few Sundays I've also told you, this time that we're in, particularly this month of November, our focus should be on all of the saints, on the souls in purgatory. The souls in purgatory and the saints, this is one of the great ways in which God Himself calls us to practice charity. God works wonders in the saints. And the great wonder that He works is He helps them to attain Christian perfection, to attain that holiness, by the practice of charity. And let us never forget that, again, charity is also loving our neighbor for God's sake. That's exactly what we do when we pray and we make sacrifices, we offer our suffrages for the souls in purgatory. We are not to forget our neighbors in purgatory. Just because we can't see them with our physical eyes does not mean that they're not our neighbors. It's one of the things that St. Alphonsus Liguori emphasizes. He says, look, charity is love for one's neighbor, the holy souls in purgatory. We cannot better testify our love for our divine master or labor in any manner more conducive to His glory than by giving to Him, through our prayers, predestined souls who will praise and love Him for eternity. When we pray for the souls in purgatory, it's not just a great act of charity towards the actual souls. It certainly is that. But it's also a great love for our Savior Jesus Christ. Because we are giving Him these souls. We're helping these souls to come into His blessed presence for all eternity. Souls that He dearly, dearly loves. And souls that no longer offend Him. You and I very easily offend God by sin. The souls in purgatory, impossible for them to offend God by sin. They are only making expiation for the sins of their life here on this earth. Jesus loves these souls and is loved by them. Think about this. There's an incredible love of these souls for Jesus, Because they're being purified more and more from all of those obstacles that prevent them from loving God perfectly. So you're talking about these souls that have an incredible love for Jesus, and Jesus loves them. He desires to have them with Him in everlasting bliss. His tender heart grieves for their mournful exile and separation from Him. But His justice, which has its rights as well as His mercy, keeps them in prison until they have paid their debt. His love draws them to Him, but His justice keeps them at a distance. And again, we are able to expedite their entrance into the presence of God, into the eternal presence of God, by our suffrages. And again, remember, our suffrages are all the ways in which we help the souls in purgatory. And remember, these are acts of charity. This is key, that we don't just do it mindlessly. Hopefully we will do it with great love. Pay very close attention, because I'm going to give you the example in just a few moments of St. Gertrude the Great. This is extremely relevant, because what is most important is that we perform these suffrages with charity. Those suffrages include Holy Mass, Holy Communion, the Holy Rosary, the Stations of the Cross, prayer in general, for example, the 7 penitential psalms, very effective for the souls in purgatory, fasting, almsgiving, good works, acts of charity, penance, mortification, and indulgences. All of those are classified as the suffrages which we can offer for the souls in purgatory. Let's move on to the saints. Remember from last Sunday, gloriosus Deus in sanctis suis. Glorious is God in His saints. Marvelous in majesty, doing wonders. Every saint is a wonder of God's grace and God's goodness. And again, one of the marvelous ways in which God teaches us and inspires us and helps us to practice charity is through the saints. He's given us the saints. And again, not only are they teaching us by their example, they themselves are practicing charity to perfection, charity towards us, charity towards the poor souls in purgatory, as they intercede for us and pray for us. Saint Joseph Kalantzakios, he lived in the 15 and 1600s, he was so filled with love of God that he seemed unable to talk of anything but God and heavenly subjects. He wasn't interested in talking, say, about politics. He seemed unable to talk of anything but God and heavenly subjects. Before the Blessed Sacrament, he appeared like a seraph to those who beheld him. He would often pray, O my Jesus, how great is thy love, how good thou art. Exercise full dominion over my heart. Remember that little phrase, because it's a remarkable prayer that is recognizing and acknowledging the kingship of Christ. He's asking our Lord, exercise full dominion over my heart, that you alone may reign there, that in my heart alone your will be done, that all my love and all my strength be for thee, that I love my neighbor for thy sake. Let us look at the example of St. Gertrude the Great. Her feast day was yesterday, November the 16th. She's one of the Catholic Church's greatest saints. Gertrude is the only female saint who is honored with the title the Great. Gertrude was a German Benedictine nun and perhaps the greatest mystic in the history of the Catholic Church. One of the outstanding aspects of St. Gertrude's spirituality was her profound devotion to the poor souls in purgatory. Many of you hopefully know her famous prayer for the souls in purgatory. At every Holy Communion, she beseeched Jesus with tender, fervent petitions to be merciful to these dear sufferers. Remember this. St. Gertrude at every Holy Communion, certainly a high point of the expression of Christ's love. And here she's at every Holy Communion praying fervently and tenderly for the souls in purgatory. She was so effective because of the incredible love of God for which she was praying for the poor souls. Listen to this particular instance. It has to do with a particular soul in purgatory. The final purification of this particular soul was effected with difficulty and it took a long time. It was revealed to Gertrude that some sinners cannot, on first reaching purgatory, profit by the ordinary suffrages of the church. After a certain period of expiation, this obstacle is removed. And then the prayers and good works of the faithful, constantly descending into purgatory like a refreshing dew, can relieve them as well as the rest of the suffering portion of Christ's flock. So, again, private revelation to St. Gertrude the Great, but something well worth reflecting on, that there are certain souls, I think we can safely assume, that due to serious sins that they committed and or a serious lack of expiation done for sins committed while on this earth, are in such a state in purgatory that a certain amount of expiation must be done before they can actually benefit from all the suffrages that the church is offering on their behalf. Again, pay very close attention because this has everything to do with charity. Gertrude inquired of our Lord what prayer she could say in order to remove from the soul in question this terrible hindrance to its speedy release. Our Lord answered, quote, "No prayer or good work is sufficient of itself to succor a soul doomed to this penalty. It can only be helped by an act of love similar to that which you have just made." Note the primacy of charity. Charity is far superior than, let's say, the words of any prayer or even the actions of any good work. Because what gives it its greatest efficacy is charity. Our Lord is affirming that St. Gertrude has just made that kind of an act of charity. And then he continues, "Now this is itself a favor which cannot be earned and which only I can give, nor can it be applied to a soul in purgatory unless that soul has merited it during life through some special grace. Nevertheless, the punishment will at length be mitigated by the prayers and satisfactory acts of the faithful on earth, especially if they are offered with affection, with charity. The time of expiation is longer or shorter according to the fervor of the friends of the deceased and also according to his own merits." Central to effective suffrages for the souls in purgatory, that we be offering those whether it's sacrifices or prayers or indulgences, that we offer them with true charity. What's going to happen if I don't have true charity? Take it seriously. Remember what St. Alphonsus Ligorian, St. Teresa of Lisieux told us earlier that I quoted about what true charity is. Loving your enemies. Putting up with the faults of your neighbor. I think that very, very often we fail in serious ways in this regard. We do not practice true charity towards our enemies. We do not put up with patience and love with the faults of our neighbor. How then do we expect that our prayers on behalf of the poor souls are going to be effective? And just so that you get a sense of how great St. Gertrude's charity was, that's why she's one of the greatest saints, sanctity, charity. We conclude with the following points about her life. No devotion was dearer to St. Gertrude than devotion to the sufferings of our Redeemer. She bore the sacred wounds of our Lord in a mystical manner in her own heart, and she suffered greatly from that. She understood how to read in the wounds of Jesus not only the greatness of his sufferings, but also the intensity of his love. Gertrude's eyes ever sought her crucifix, that sorrowful memento of her Savior's love. At night, it never left her hands. She consecrated the whole of every Friday to meditation on the Passion. Among the many graces which God granted his beloved daughter Gertrude, one of the most outstanding was the interchange of hearts. This is a very rare grace that only a few of the saints have received. And listen carefully, because this interchange of hearts is why she was able to love in such a great way. In some ways, you could even say in an infinite way. Jesus exchanged his heart for hers. After which Gertrude felt her divine spouse live and love within her. And finally, St. Gertrude is a great example of devotion to the saints. Charity builds on charity. And it's why we see the saints inspiring one another, helping each other, growing in love of God and love of neighbor. Of all the saints, St. Gertrude is one of the ones, again, also most outstanding in her devotion to the saints. Eight of the saints that were dearest to St. Gertrude were St. John the Apostle. Again, we can say the Apostle of Love, resting on the Sacred Heart of our Lord. St. John the Apostle, St. Augustine, St. Benedict, stands to reason she was a Benedictine, St. Gregory the Great, St. Bernard, St. Agnes, St. Catherine of Alexandria, and St. Mary Magdalene. One final word of encouragement, this especially to the spouses. Obviously, do your very best to pray the act of faith, act of hope, and act of charity with as much love and fervor as you can. But also, don't forget to pray this often. Because this is the charity, the true charity that you're called to practice as a Catholic husband and as a Catholic wife. The one who describes it for us is Saint Paul. No surprise. Unequaled, we might say, in his love of Christ. And this is what he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7. This is the epistle that we read on Septuagesima Sunday. The Sunday right before the first Sunday of Lent, basically like 3 days before Lent begins on Ash Wednesday. So obviously you can find it in your Bible, but you can also go to your missal and it's there. That's the epistle for Septuagesima Sunday. I conclude with these words. I strongly, strongly encourage husbands and wives, read these verses often, reflect on them. pray and ask God's grace and the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary to help you so that you can put these into practice in your marriage. Charity is patient, is kind. Charity envieth not, dealeth not perversely, is not puffed up. Charity is not ambitious, seeketh not her own, is not provoked to anger, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth with the truth. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.